Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we can come into your house and stand in your presence. And Father, the desire of our hearts tonight, Lord God, is that we would meet with you. And we ask, Lord God, that by the power of your Spirit, you would speak to each heart, to each mind, Lord God. You know our needs, Lord God, even before we ask. And we ask you through the power of your word and Spirit to encourage, to strengthen and to help each one of us, Lord God, in whatever lies ahead and whatever is taking place in our lives at this time. Lord God, glorify your name in us, Lord God, that your kingdom might be extended and your name be praised. Amen.
Amen.
December is Christmas time, and in the world they say, you know, peace and goodwill to all men. And we don't see it, do we? But tonight I thought it would be a good time for us to consider what God does say, a little bit of what God has to say about peace in his word. And I want to start with a scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. I actually shared this with you 10 years ago. So hopefully it'll either jog your memories or it'll be a fresh blessing to you. And it's Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." The dictionary definition of peace means a cessation of or freedom from any strife or dissension, freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, or anxiety, a state of tranquility or serenity. Isn't that beautiful? That's peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That's a powerful promise of God to mankind. If we look around the world today and even back through history, you'll see that peace is very elusive, not just in nations, but in individual lives. And there's war and contentions and strife and fear and anxiety and stress. And all these things prevail in the world, and they're readily there for us to tap into. But peace is hard to find and even harder to maintain. But God's promise remains.
Hallelujah.
God says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." In this present economic climate in our nation, so many people are worried and anxious about feeding their families, paying their bills. They're distressed and they're burdened with their lives. And they're concerned for their jobs and for their futures and for their families and for their very well-being, mentally and physically. And we see a multitude of people who they only cope by swallowing, you know, antidepressants on a daily basis. And then you see others, they can't even cope and they're taking drugs and drink just to try and blot out all their worries and all their anxiety and their stress of the daily grind of living and of the reality of their concerns that they're facing. There's hopelessness, depression, anxiety and fear, and they're running rampant in our nation at the moment. But that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God for anyone. And it's certainly not the will of God for you and I as his servants. His will is in Isaiah 26 and 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." God's desire and God's will for mankind is that they live their lives in a state of perfect peace. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants that you and I can face the reality of our lives, but remain in that calm and peaceful state of mind and being. We all face difficulties and challenges in our daily lives, And these vary from person to person, and they vary from 1 week to the next and 1 year to the next, you know. But regardless of our varying situations, God wants you and I to always be in perfect peace. It's not some sort of joke I'm saying. It's not just a wish list. Whoa, I wish that was true. It's the will of God for you and I. This is what God's desire is. And it's obtainable. It's not out of our reach. God hasn't put it there to tease us or torment us or frustrate us. He's put it there so we might understand what the will of God is, and that we might comprehend it and lay a hold of it and obtain it for ourselves. It's within our grasps. It should be a reality in our lives. It should be part of our testimony to this world around us. This is what faith in God can give you. It can give you peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trials and strife. We can be at peace. We should be different from the rest of this world, and we can be different. But how? Well, our scripture tells us, doesn't it? In Isaiah 26, I'm going to keep repeating this. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Whose mind is stayed on you. Stayed, it's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? You know, you think of stays, don't you, in girdles and things. Stayed, it means to spend time in one place, to continue, to keep up, to linger, to hold out, to endure, to tarry, to stand firm to the end, to remain, to await. We've got to stay our minds in God. God's promise of peace is to those who will spend their time and continue to spend their time, to hold out and to linger and stand firm till the end in what? In placing their minds and the things of God. That's what we've got to do. Our minds are the battleground. They can be battered and torn by our emotions, by our circumstances, by our lives, by the temptations of this world, our own flesh, and sometimes even the devil. But God requires you and I to place our minds fully upon him and upon his word, upon his truth, upon his promises. That's what we need. Stand there, linger there, stay there, hold on there. That's got to be our firm foundation, and we have got to grasp that. If you doubt and question and worry and anxiety, it's not going to work. We have to stand on the word of God and on the promises of his word. We can choose to set our minds on God's truth, or we can allow the fears and the problems and the anxieties to dominate the way we think. We all have to choose. We all will choose, and we all do choose one way or another. And that becomes evident by the fear and the anxiety or the strife or the peace that we experience. You can't find true peace anywhere else. You can find a temporary relief when your problems go away, when there's a solution that comes, when there's a happy circumstances in your life, but you won't find a permanent peace apart from God. Peace comes by staying your mind upon God, by lingering over the things of God, by standing firm on the things of God, by holding out for the things of God, by waiting on God, by continuing in the things of God, by spending time in the things of God. This morning, my daily reading was in Hebrews 11. And you read that passage of scripture there, and all these great people of faith. And it says, and they didn't receive the promises. But they believed God. And if you and I look back in history, we see that God met every one of his promises to those people. God fulfilled his word. God kept his promise. They didn't see it. They trusted God. They held on to the very end. They lingered in the promises of God and held strong to them. That's what he asks of us. Hold on. What? Don't care what you see with your eyes, what's going on around you. Hold on to the word of God and stand on the word of God and the promises of God. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Where we allow our minds to dwell and to linger and to think about, it will dominate who we are and what we become and our very being. If we dwell on our anxieties and fears, our problems and worries will not find peace. Now, we all have problems and worries, and you do have to think, and you do have to try and work out solutions. But in the end, you have to go back to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your grace. I need your provision, or whatever it might be. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. Go to God. Take it to God and ask God to help you. Take your concerns, your worries, your anxieties, your fears to God and seek his word. Seek his guidance. Seek his assurance sometimes, you know, his intervention. God help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, we all feel like that. Sometimes life is like that, you know. Seek his wisdom because ours is so... I don't know what the right word is. We need to seek his grace. And we have to stop and consider his power. He's Almighty God. And he loves us. He loves us. You know, and he can provide all that we're needful. Think about God's ability. He created this world. He created the heavens. We've got a big window in our bedroom and the curtains don't cover it. And so, and you can see the stars at night because there's nothing out the back of our house except fields. And this week it's been absolutely stunning because there's multitudes of stars out there. You don't see them when you're in the city because of all the light that's around. But it's pitch black and all you can see is stars and stars and stars. God created that. And it's there as a reminder. But sometimes we can't see it because all the things are getting in the way. And we have to stop and focus and look and see who our God is, what he's capable of. He's just made that. I don't know why, but it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful. It's amazing. You know? And God is able, if we will ask. You know? And when we stop and we focus our mind on the right thing, it brings that peace. It brings that comfort. It gives us often the word of wisdom that comes and whatever it is we need. And we know that God is with us. And that all things will work together for our good. And we can let that peace rule in our hearts and minds. This is what Jesus said in John 14, 27. Listen carefully because it's Jesus speaking to us. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's Jesus telling us, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. You know, we have that choice to make. Will we allow fear and trouble to dominate us, or will we stay our minds on and trust God? John 16, 33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Again, this is Jesus speaking. In the world, you will have tribulation. We can't avoid it. It's part of being human. We're going to face it. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
You know, this life isn't what it's all about. This is just a stepping stone in our experience to eternity. You know, it's really, for some of us, it's very, very short. For some of us, it's a bit longer, but in reality, it's all very short. In the light of eternity, it's hardly anything. And all we have to do is hold on to the truth till we get there. God take us through, isn't it? God knows we're going to face tribulation. He's told us. In the world, you're having tribulation. There you go. There's no avoiding it, folks. It's written down. Jesus said it, so it's true. We're going to face difficulties. God knows that, but he knows that his peace can overcome that. You know, it's a peace that passes understanding. It don't make sense to our heads. Why am I at peace when all this is going on around me, when everything's falling to pieces? But he gives it us nonetheless, if we'll stay our minds upon the word and promises of God. You know, whatever we have to face in our lives. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." It comes from putting your mind on the things of God, on spiritual things, not looking at the problems of the world and the difficulties. The peace comes from looking to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. And that choice is one you and I have to make, because God cannot just come and give you peace. I can't come and give you peace. You know, it comes when we choose to trust God, when we choose to set our minds upon God's word and God's promises, and to be spiritually minded rather than carnally minded and filling our lives with fear and anxiety. This is a battle. Our minds are a battleground, but we have to daily come to that place of saying, "Lord, today I commit my life to you, and I place my life in your hands. Help me, whatever I have to face this day, whatever it might be." Yeah? There's lots of promises in the Word of God, and I'm going to read you a few scriptures. Romans 14, verse 19. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and things by which one may edify another." We're to pursue the things which make for peace. Pursue spirituality. Pursue God. Pursue knowing God. Pursue reading his word and understanding the things of God. We've got to put a little bit of effort in. To pursue something means you've got to put some effort in there and chase after those things. Romans 15, 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Peace comes in believing the word of God. Joy and peace, it says. That's even better, isn't it? Yeah. Don't want to miss out on the joy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God wants to give us peace. He's a God of peace. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, etc. But peace is in there. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. God's Spirit will impart peace to you. It's not going to come by self-will. It's not going to come by self-effort, because it's a fruit of God's Spirit. It's part of God's impartation of his Spirit to our lives. And only God can do that. But it comes as we stay our minds upon God and his word and his promises. Philippians 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's a guard. It's a protection. God doesn't want you filled with anxiety. He doesn't want you filled with worry. He doesn't want you stressed out. He wants you to have that peace and serenity and tranquility on the inside, regardless of what's happening. And God can give you that when you lay a hold of who our God is and what he's can do for you. It's not logical. I'm quite a logical, pragmatic kind of person. And it's not logical. And I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I really don't. I wish I did. But it's not something you can muster up. It's not something you can do yourselves. It comes from God. And it's done by God in our lives. I don't know how one minute I had a revelation of who God was. And I don't know how that happened, because I'd been going to church before then, and I don't know what made that difference, but it was God who entered my life and changed me. And that's what it is every time. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how it works, but it does. And it is real and it's genuine and it's there in the midst of trials and the midst of difficulties. If we want to lay a hold of it, we have to make that choice. But we can't control it. It doesn't, it's not come once and it stays forever. It doesn't. You have to have this battle many times in your life and you have to face it and overcome the flesh, overcome the enemy, overcome the world, the flesh and the devil, it says, doesn't it, somewhere. We have to overcome those things and trust God and trust his word and trust his spirit. But it far surpasses and exceeds our understanding. And we can receive it. We can experience. We can dwell in perfect peace regardless of our circumstances. Philippians 4:9 says, "What you received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." No doubts. If you just, Paul's saying, do what I did, you know, pray, read, go to church, witness, tell people about the love of God, obey the word of God, and God will be with you. No doubts. It doesn't matter what you feel, doesn't matter what anybody else says, doesn't matter where you are in the world or what your circumstances are, God will be with you. Colossians 3 verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." See, let. There's these little words they stick in, aren't they? They're things, the bits we have to do. We have to choose. We have to let the peace of God, you know, rule in our hearts. And now, rather than saying, oh, panic, God, I'm in a panic. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. What a lovely prayer that is. 2 Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Isn't that beautiful? He's the Lord of peace. This is the will of God for you and I. You might not know if God wants you to be a missionary or whatever else he wants you to do with your life, how he wants you to serve, but you can know this. God wants you in perfect peace wherever you are, whatever you're doing. That's a wonderful testimony to the world. There are many religions in this world, and there are many who claim to be Christians and to be servants of the living God. But God is not pleased with all religion. When Jesus walked on earth as a man, it was the religious leaders of his day that opposed him the most. And ultimately, they were the ones that had him crucified. Religion has an outward appearance of godliness, but the heart of the individual remains unchanged. And Matthew 23:27, Jesus says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness." Psalm 59 and verse 19 says, "God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God." There's got to be that change in us. It's a proof that we fear God, that we're obedient to God, that we're trusting God, that we're loving God. God isn't fooled by mere religious activity or religious words or actions, because God is the God who sees the heart and deals with our hearts. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Which brings us very neatly to our second point, which we, if you remember our scripture in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." And the second part is, "because he trusts in you." Because he trusts in you. Many religious people read the word of God, they attend church, they pray, but they don't trust God. When it comes down to it, they don't trust God. James 1:21 to 26 says, Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You can lock yourself away in a monastery and read the word of God from morning till midnight and never know the peace of God. Because God gives peace to those who are doers and not hearers only. Tells us there in verse 22 of James, they deceive themselves. They're not fooling God. They're only deceiving themselves, which is a terrible place to be in. We prove that we trust God and we trust his word when we put it into action in our lives, when we become doers of that word. As we step out in faith on the word of God, sometimes it seems utter foolishness to us, sometimes to forgive. You know, it's a hard one for me, that one. You hear me say this often. You know, it seems, why? Because God says we should. For if there's no other reason, God said it, we must do it. Yeah? There's lots of things God's asked us to do. And we say, why, God? What's the why? What's the importance of that? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. It doesn't matter whether it makes sense to you. If God says it, trust him. He knows what he's talking about. He really, really does. And, you know, if we obey him and put his word into practice, regardless of what we think, then it comes out right, and God honors that and blesses that. When we become doers of the word, as we take that step of faith, as we act upon God's word and God's promises, God aligns himself with us somehow. And it's funny, because I was talking to Pearl the other day about things, and we've all got families, and some family members are saved and some aren't, you know. But you see families and you think, oh, we're all the same. Everything's the same. Nobody, it's not much difference. They've just got a bit of religion attached up to them. You know, that's what they think about us. You know, that's just that we come to church on Sundays or whatever. But when you look at the fruit of the lives and you look at the children, you know, there's a vast difference. Mm. And the difficulties that some of our families are facing, you know, it's there but for the grace of God go you and I. There but for the grace of God go our children or our grandchildren. And it's, you know, it's God's blessing upon us. Yes. And it's God's grace. And I don't know how he does it or why he does it. But if you do what he says, it works out right. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not clever. I'm not, a theologian or anything like that. I just know what I've seen in my own life and proved in my own experience, and I've seen in other people's lives and experience too, that the word of God is true, and the word of God can be relied upon to know far better than I do, and that as we do it, God will bless us, and God brings that blessing upon our lives and our families. We can take that step of faith and act on God's word. God aligns himself with us and he moves on our behalf. So many answers to prayer. We've got a little book in somewhere, and it's got like all the prayer requests that we've made in this church. And at the back we have the requests, or at the front, and then we have the answers. And it's full, loads of them. We're on the second book, you know, and it's beautiful to see what God does and the prayers that God answers. And don't tell me it's just coincidence. It's not just coincidence. There's too many coincidences. It's the grace of God and the mercy of God. And God moves on our behalf. Sometimes he provides us with the power we need. Sometimes it's the grace or the wisdom, or even provides for us. I know there was times in the past when we didn't have a lot of money, and my parents were coming for lunch and they weren't saved at the time. And I said, oh God, I haven't got any money to feed them. That's not a good testimony, God. I've got money to buy either the chicken or money to buy the vegetables, but I haven't got the money for the both to give them a chicken dinner. And then one of the ladies from the church turned up with a bag full of vegetables. You know, I just finished praying, God help me. And he did. But she'd been on her way before I had even asked. God knows what we need before we ask. But he just wants us to ask. Yeah, that's it. I love it when little Isaac comes up and asks, Nanny, Grandma. You know, if he wants you to do things, oh, you mean my little heart goes all soft. And you know, we do. We want to be asked sometimes, and God likes us to ask him. And he gives willingly, freely, abundantly above what we can ask or think. Whatever it is we need, whether it's practical, spiritual, wisdom, grace, mercy, power, whatever it is, God's there. And we can all experience and receive that peace as we trust God and put his word into practice. 1 Peter 3 verse 11 says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That's what we need to do. Turn away from evil to do what the word of God says. Do what is good. God is good. What he says is good. What he says is right. Seek peace and pursue it. Go after peace. Trusting God is crucial. It's what separates the sheep from the goats. It's what the servants of God from the followers of this world. Trusting God is the difference between a dead religion and a living faith. It's the difference. Trusting God is what releases the power of God into our lives. It lets God work amongst us and in us and for us. Remember Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God will fulfill his promises and his word to us. We serve a loving Heavenly Father who is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. He knows you're going to have troubles, trials, tribulations. But he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you stay your mind upon me, if you trust me. The choice is yours and the choice is mine. Where we dwell is our own doing. God's promise stands. And God will keep his promises and fulfill his word if we will but trust and obey. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we stand in awe of you this night, Lord God. We can't believe, Lord God, the privilege that we have, that we can come into your very presence, that we can stand before you, the God of heaven, and ask, Lord God, for your help, for your grace and your mercy to be extended to such as us. And Lord, that you're willing to hear our prayer and to meet us at our place of need. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. And we ask, Lord God, that you'll take your word and implant it into our hearts and minds, that daily we might live in its reality and in its power and its beauty, to the glory and the honour of your name, for you alone are worthy. Yes. Amen. Amen.